Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Welcome back to the show, and thanks for spending some time with us today. I'm excited to bring you more of these community stories and to chat with my guest today. His name is Ken Bruzé, and he is the CEO of Phoenix Rescue Mission. So good morning, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We were talking about those French names.
I know.
Well, actually, my mother's maiden name is Rusev, so I should have been like even more attuned to it. But
yeah, a lot of times it has to do with the spelling, whether or not the ET got changed to an A at the end, and I've been dealing with it my whole life. I'm used to it.
Yeah. Well, Phoenix Rescue Mission, we're talking homelessness, addiction, cycles of poverty. Tell the audience about Phoenix Rescue Mission and kind of how you came to be in the first place.
Yeah, thank you. Phoenix Rescue Mission celebrated its 70th year last year.
Wow.
So it has been serving the Valley for quite a long time, and it has grown and I would say changed significantly. When it first opened, it was comprised of two couples who made sandwiches and Kool-Aid for people living on the streets. And it grew from there into what is traditionally known as a rescue mission, which is an overnight shelter. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. And it's grown to what we are today. And we have evolved from that typical traditional overnight shelter where you may enter in the afternoon, you spend the night, you get a meal, and you leave the next day only to repeat that cycle over and over, hopefully that if there's a bed for you. We are not that kind of rescue mission. We operate two residential recovery centers. So the clients who are being served at those centers live on those centers 24 hours a day. And we have one for men, and then we have one for women and their children. So women who have children up to the age of 12 can live on campus with their children. And it's a comprehensive one-year program where people in all different situations of life, usually situations that have been driven by some kind of life controlling issue, are in recovery, in a recovery program with us. And so we operate those centers. The men's center is up to about 260 men. We opened a new, newly constructed building 3 years ago now. And capacity is going to be well over 300 when we're full. So we have gone from a capacity of 160, now we're up to 260, and it will continue to rise. At the Women's Center, we have about 95 women today and about 40 kids. So it's hopping over there. That's one part of what we do. Another thing we do is something called street outreach, where case managers drive to different areas of the Valley and provide case management services on the street to people living on the street. So it's comprehensive. It could be something as simple as giving them a water bottle and a hygiene kit and information that they may need, you know, to get something like a birth certificate or, and beyond. Just making relationship, praying with these people and over these people until finally the relationship gets to a place where the case manager and the person they've been interacting with are in a place where the person wants to get services. And that usually doesn't happen by somebody just rolling up and saying, hi, I'm from Phoenix Rescue Mission. I'm here to help. Yeah. They have to build a relationship. So that's what they do. And then finally, the other, I would say, big thing we do is we operate a food bank out in Glendale, and we serve anywhere between two to 250 families a day, 5 days a week. And we also operate a mobile food pantry where we bring food to areas of the valley that are considered food deserts, because transportation is a huge issue when it comes to people lacking service and in need of food. So we are multifaceted, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. And you would have to be. I'm aware of cycles of poverty and homelessness and hunger. I worked at Homeward Bound for five years. Very aware of the issues. And you truly would have to have all of those facets of the program. There is no one size fits all solution to homelessness, because there's so many different ways that families came to be in that place of need, whether it's hunger, addiction, homelessness. And then, you know, to your point too, the second piece of accepting that, okay, this is not what I want for generations to come. This is not how I want to live the rest of my life. And accepting that help.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
What are some of those numbers right here in Phoenix? Because it's pretty staggering that these are folks in our community. Phoenix is growing like crazy, absolutely gangbusters, but there are so many experiencing even hunger every night.
There are, and that's a hard number to quantify. Mm-hmm. However, once a year, Maricopa County conducts something called the Point in Time Count, and it's occurring next week. So, on the same morning, big cities, metropolitan areas all around the country have scores of volunteers that go out in the street and literally count the number of people living on the street. And they collect other data to go along with that as well. So new pit count data is coming shortly. I will tell you that Maricopa County is into the thousands of, the number is that high, of people living on the street. Some data that we have collected recently around 211 calls in the 10 largest cities in Maricopa County. And for those who don't know what 211 is, it's the number that folks can dial if they need assistance with housing or with food insecurity or battling substance abuse. And across the 10 largest cities in Maricopa County, from 2021 to 2022, the number of 211 calls grew in almost every instance, whether by topic and by city. The number of 211 calls grew well in excess of 100%. The great majority of them are in triple digit, meaning some percent increase in calls. So much so that there are certain cities, depending on the area of need, that grew 400, 500, 600% 2021 over 2022. The 2023 data isn't in yet because we're so new into 2024, but all trends indicate that those numbers are going to significantly rise again. On the issue of food insecurity, about 9.2% of people living in Maricopa County are food insecure, which is a staggering number. Mm-hmm. There, you know, again, to the point you made earlier, for a wide variety of issues. So, again, Phoenix Rescue Mission exists to provide services both in the short term, but really ultimately in the long term. We are all about truly restoring people and transforming their lives. It sounds cliche, but it's not. We are not a handout. We are a hand up. We want to walk alongside people so that they can break this cycle of homelessness and or addiction and or food insecurity and all the things that go into why that's the case.
And that's exactly it. Oftentimes it's generational cycles. And so, you know, slapping a roof over a head for the night is one thing, but being able to break those cycles is much deeper. So
I have to say, though, you so get it, because there are so many people who feel like we need to get these people off the street and we need to get them in shelter. I couldn't agree more. I will scream that from the mountaintops. Mm-hmm. It has to happen with what's called wraparound services happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you take someone from living on the street and you don't control the issues why they're living on the street, you're putting them in a more comfortable situation.
Yeah.
But they're taking those life controlling issues with them.
Mm-hmm. Addressing the root issues, which it sounds like, is that mainly your case managers that are kind of diving deep, those that are on the street and within the homes?
Case managers on the street for sure. And then in our residential recovery centers, we have amazing, highly qualified, highly educated, highly experienced counselors that have caseloads. And just as if you or I were to go to a counselor, the clients living on our campuses have a counselor, and the counselors work with them to really get into those issues and help them identify what they are, and then work with them to break free of the control that they have over their lives.
Yeah. Tell me about the resource gap analysis, because it sounds like a fascinating study, and I know that you're pretty hot on it right now too. So tell me about it.
We are, and thank you for asking. I received the final version of the resource gap analysis just this week. So I am laying eyes on it for the last time. I'll tell you just a little story of how we got there. Back in 2017, Phoenix Rescue Mission decided to build that building I told you about to expand our men's campus. And at the time, it was determined that we would build three new buildings there. And it was the building that we did build. It also included renovating the old building, the existing building that has been newly renovated. But then it also included building a building for warehouse space and a food bank and community engagement space and other things. And then finally a third building used to be determined later. And so I arrived at Phoenix Rescue Mission in February of 2020, and COVID hit 5 weeks later. So everything we knew about operating the mission had to change. We had to be nimble. We had to adapt, and we did. And we did very well.
What a welcome.
You're right. It was January of 2021, and I met with a few of our board leaders, and I said, I'm not sure that what we thought we should do in 2017 is what we should do today. The world has changed so significantly and so quickly. And they agreed, we need to look at it. And I said, I don't think we should go into a conference room and we decide what it is we should be doing, like many organizations would tend to do. I said, we have to ask the people we serve. And so we partnered with an organization called From the Ground Up. We also decided we're not going to conduct the survey because we're biased. Mm-hmm. We love what we do. And that love of what we do is going to skew the data. So we decided to get an independent third party to do it. And it was conducted by From the Ground Up. And Ash Us is their primary researcher. And she was our phenomenal partner on that. It took about 16 months, but we went all over the valley. We interviewed and surveyed 754 people living on the street.
Oh.
We also interviewed community leaders, civic leaders, business owners, church partners, law enforcement, first responders. All told, we interviewed almost 1,200 people, and about 754 of them were people living on the street. And we asked them, what are the needs? Where are they not being met? And we now finally have that data. So we expect to release that data within a month or so. But the data was eye-opening, is not even a strong enough word. Ash also realized that no survey of this type had been conducted at any time in the past anywhere in the US. Mm-hmm. From a comprehensiveness, from a sample size standpoint, this survey is breaking a lot of new ground. And it showed us some things that we found to be either reinforcing or new to us. One of the biggest things is that people tend to think, why don't people living on the street just go to a shelter? Why are they living on the street? Well, about 70% of the people living on the street shared that they won't go to a shelter because they either have had or have heard about the negative experiences as a shelter. And it's mostly around they don't feel safe. And so when you think about potential solutions, it could be that municipalities, cities, counties, even the state need to partner with folks like us, folks like CAS, folks like so many others who provide services, and we need to address that issue so that we can provide more safe, effective shelters around the Valley. That was really eye-opening. One thing that was the most common thread throughout anything related to homelessness or substance abuse or food insecurity was the lack of public awareness. People living on the street, people needing food, people who need recovery don't know where to get the information to get the help.
And then
conversely, people who want to help them, that group I mentioned earlier, they don't have the information to give the folks to get the help they need. So lack of public awareness is a significant issue that we, I truly mean the collective we, need to address, because there's help out there and the folks who need it don't know where to get it or how to get it. And the folks who want to help them don't have that information either.
Yes, it's so complicated. The housing, on every sort of level, it's so complicated, even just trying to find the right fit for housing for a family, an individual, for what it is. And what would you say are some of the biggest challenges for those that are attempting to help? So for an organization like yourself, those that want to help and get in, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're facing in terms of the needs? And how do you break through those barriers, like in something as simple as communication between, those that are needing and those that want to help? How do you break through that?
I'll answer your question just a little bit differently. And I'll turn it more, because this is what I've been thinking about, especially leading into, but after the resource gap analysis. We can break down a lot of these barriers if the right people, meaning people and organizations with the right, I'll call it skill sets and expertise, come together and have we are going to do something about this discussions and partner better together. There are so many great partnerships going on throughout the Valley, and they're somewhat effective. I use this term a lot and it sounds kind of silly, but we all have a superpower. We do. Phoenix Rescue Mission, it's case management, it's restoration, it's transformation, it's those wraparound services especially. We're really good at that. We're not good at low barrier short-term shelter. That's not what we do. Yeah. Other people are. So we need to get the superpowers together and go after this almost with a singular voice. Then alongside that, I have this dream, I'll call it, that really significant funders, whether they be individuals, foundations, governments, come together and say, we're going to make sure that this team of providers has what they need to truly make a difference and be effective when it comes to significantly reducing homelessness and all of the issues surrounding it. So again, to answer your question, it's we need more of that so that those barriers are broken down.
And I am so with you. I just remember we would bang our heads against the wall of everyone does. Everyone needs to play in the same sandbox. There is an ultimate goal, and I'm with you. I think it's not that far-fetched of a dream. We'll make it happen.
I hope so. I don't even hope so. We will. And I do believe, I think the resource gap analysis is going to, it could be that foot you put in the door that says, hey, let's really look at this data and talk some more.
And you're very relationship-centered. You're a faith-based organization. How do you think that helps you as you incorporate those into the programming?
It's at the core of our success. It is. It's both. It's the faith-based component and it's the relationship component. We very coincidentally, we just had a meeting strategizing vision for street outreach. And it's clear that our level of success occurs because we have 20 some people a day driving around the valley in big white vans that say Hope Coach and the Phoenix Rescue Mission logo, building relationship with folks. And there are many people who don't know God, who have fallen away from God, who maybe even are mad at God, and there's still that connection there. And our case managers help them restore a relationship with the Lord. And when you put that at the core of all those things I listed that we do, it is absolutely the best solution for these folks living on the street. Throwing a number at you. We rescued 896 people living on the street last year, almost 900 people.
Substantial.
It is. And that does not happen because we roll up and we ask them, hey, who wants to be off the street? Get in the van. Yeah. That's not how it happens. Right. We have story after story after story of relationship that led to getting people off the street and onto a road of recovery and transformation.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's that change of lens too, that all of a sudden it becomes bigger than themselves. It's not just this I-centered world anymore. It's the community that you're building. It's for the bigger purpose. And I think that makes a big difference too.
It does. And Jordan, one phenomenon that is just extraordinary and such a blessing for Phoenix Rescue Mission, those case managers I told you about that go out and minister to folks living on the street, more than half of them have come through our program.
I love that.
So when they approach folks, it's from a I've been where you are place. And oh, goodness, do the walls break down. And then they share their story. And then these folks see what our case managers are now doing for others and doing for a living. And it's that real life embodiment of there is hope. Absolutely, there is hope. And I'm living proof of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have so many, but are there any stories that kind of come to the top of your mind of lives that are changed where you really saw the light bulb go off? You really saw that complete transformation in a person or a family?
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. Very generally, my second Christmas here, we had 10 men who were in our program who experienced their first sober Christmas that they could remember and with their children. So for the first time in their children's lives, 10 families, 10 dads spent a sober Christmas with their children. And when I heard that, it was just extraordinary. I'll never forget that. There are stories after stories. I'll stick to the Christmas theme. We had a guy, Pete, in our men's center. And Pete lived on the street, battled addiction for years. His family finally, like so many families, said, we just cannot allow this. That when families don't address a loved one battling addiction in a way that is safe for the family, it destroys a family. It could destroy a family. And so Pete's family said, we just can't have it anymore. And they didn't allow Pete to be part of the family. Pete kept living on the street. He would show up at his parents' house on holidays. His mom would bring him a plate of food out to the porch, and Pete was not allowed in. Pete decided to go to Phoenix Rescue Mission, and Pete was in our program. And that first Christmas after Pete joined the program, he spent Christmas with his family, and his mom took him by the hand, walked him down the hall, and took him into a bedroom. And in that bedroom were the presents that she bought every Christmas that Pete was living on the street, knowing that the Lord was going to do a work in Pete and get him to a life of recovery and transformation. And every Christmas he missed, every Christmas present he missed, his mom saved for him for that day, because that was her showing of, I mean, literal, tangible showing of faith that Pete would be restored one day.
What an emotional journey. Especially talking about families and those that never gave up hope, or just thinking about, you know, I have two young kids myself. It would just be such a different experience. And to be able to kind of come back into that innocence that you once had.
That's exactly it. Recently, we had murals painted, two murals, one at the Men's Center, one at the Women's Center. And it absolutely embodies that. At the Women's Center, it's a very, very young girl, little girl, and a young woman. And it can be interpreted so many ways, but it's one of the many ways that it's intended to be interpreted by some is exactly what you just said. That little girl never dreamed of living a life of pain on the streets, wrought in addiction. And that little girl is still there.
Yeah.
And we exist to bring that little girl back into a life of restoration. And so that young woman can truly be that young woman that God created her to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so emotional. Before I get more emotional, tell me what's on tap for the year ahead for Phoenix Rescue Mission. You've got big data coming out and you've got a lot on your plates, but how can the community get involved?
Thank you. There are so many ways. Our website is phxmission.org. So PHX, like our airport abbreviation, mission.org. And I know that's the typical canned answer to how can people get involved. Yeah. But we really do have so many ways. There are ways to get involved from a volunteer standpoint, something as simple as helping pass out a meal during mealtime, all the way into some things like leading Bible study, mentoring young men and women on our campuses. There are just so many ways to get involved. There are ways for groups to get involved, building those hope totes, those hygiene kits that I told you about. Corporations, churches all over the valley get involved doing that. Naturally, people who support us with their financial treasure, they are key to what we do. The great, great, great majority of our funding comes from individuals. And so we are tremendous stewards of that funding. We have the absolute highest rating you can get with Charity Navigator. So we good truly stuff. Do. Thank you. Yeah. I'm also very proud that we are, for the third year in a row, a certified best Christian workplace, and we are designated as flourishing, which is the highest designation. So I encourage the community, if you're not familiar with Phoenix Rescue Mission, to check us out. I will tell you that when people do, they are, or even when people hear about us for the first time, I've had Lyft drivers say things to me like, oh my goodness, I have chills, because I spent 45 seconds telling them what Phoenix Rescue Mission does. Yes. So I would say, come check us out. You will want to be part of what we do.
Absolutely. I know I had to stop you. I was like, well, no, we can't talk anymore. I'm getting too emotional. it's great work. You guys are doing amazing thank things. You. And just thank you for the work. Certainly the right man for the job, too. It looks like you've brought it leaps and bounds further than even it was, you know, a couple years ago.
That's very kind. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today. And I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.